This Cap Times podcast is brought to you by Exact Sciences Corporation, the makers of Cologuard. Learn more at exactsciences.com.
I think people who haven't done it before, maybe they're thinking, oh, I might want to eat this later. So they try to keep their gingerbread soft. You know, they want a nice fluffy icing. No, you want to just like, you want hard, dry gingerbread pieces. You want a frosting that is as close to like industrial spackle as possible. This is the basics of a good gingerbread house.
This is The Corner Table, a podcast about food and drink in Madison, Wisconsin, produced by the Capital Times. I'm Lindsay Christians.
And I'm Chris Lay. You know, I've made a few gingerbread houses in my day. I decorated them at parties, and I have consumed a few stray ginger people. May they rest in gingerbread pieces. My favorite things to decorate with are Andes mints. They make the absolute best shingles, and they taste the best of all the decorations. Come at me, people.
It's a hot take. They're so pretty. And anyway, we think baking, constructing, and slathering a gingerbread abode with frosting is a perfect in-home holiday project for 2020. So this week we're talking to Molly Machewski. She's the executive chef and general manager of Madison Sourdough. Molly has made literally hundreds of gingerbread houses. Hundreds.
Hundreds. If, unlike Molly, you are still a beginner at gingerbread carpentry, Molly has excellent tips on how to keep your house from collapsing. She has some surprising pastry-related innovations. Well, they were surprising to me, at least. And she has stories from gingerbread workshops past, including one experimental candy trough that did not work out as planned and brought out the worst in people.
Stay tuned after this episode for some audio clips from Cap Time's very own Kid Builders. Give a listen. Hi, Molly. Welcome.
Hi.
I should say welcome back. You've been on the podcast before.
That's true. Long time ago.
Yeah, when we were in person back in the day. So first of all, can you let me know like what your weeks look like right now at the bakery? Like what have you been up to and like how are things going at Madison Sourdough?
You know, they're going okay. I think that's about the best anyone in the restaurant industry can say right now. They're going okay. You know, we're not doing any dine-in. It's too cold to eat outside, so we're pretty much just doing carry out. Yeah, the weekends are still pretty good. The weekdays are slowing down, which we expected for winter, of course. I think everyone's in the same boat on that. But yeah, I spend a lot more time in the kitchen now than I used to pre-pandemic, which is fun, you know. But yeah, we're plugging along.
That's great. In previous years, mm-hmm. Madison Sourdough has done like workshops around how to make gingerbread houses, which is why we wanted to talk with you today. Mm-hmm. How many gingerbread houses have you made?
Well, if we had done the workshop this year, it would have been our 12th year. So I've probably made at least 700 gingerbread houses.
That is so much higher than the number I was anticipating.
Yeah.
700. Oh, my God. Do you enter like a Zen state when you're making that many of like everything just starts to look the same?
Yes. Have you ever heard that song, the ticky-tacky houses all in a row?
Oh, yeah.
That plays through my head when I'm like lining them all up on the counters. We do it in stages. Like we do the dough, then we cut all the pieces out and bake all the pieces. And then I have assembly day where I just like lock myself in the classroom and I just spread everything out and I just make house after house after house.
That's fantastic.
And so for the workshops, people would come in and find pre-assembled houses and then they just decorate from that foundation?
Yep. So they would sign up ahead of time for like how many people, how many houses they wanted. And then they would come in with their group and we would hand them their ready to go pre-assembled gingerbread house. And then just a ton of frosting and candy and sprinkles and all the stuff that you want for that.
Chris, have you ever made a gingerbread house before?
Yes. I mean, ooh. I think I made them like in school when I was a kid at some point. And then a couple years ago at a friend of my girlfriend's, we went to a party at their house and they had a table set up with all the fixings for to make your gingerbread house.
And nice.
Yeah. So I have dabbled a little bit, but certainly not 700 over the past decade plus.
That is fabulous. So Molly, what are the basics of gingerbread house architecture?
So you're going for structure. This is probably the most important thing you can do. You know, I think people who haven't done it before, maybe they're thinking, oh, I might want to eat this later. So they try to keep their gingerbread soft. You know, they want a nice fluffy icing. No, you want to just like, you want hard, dry gingerbread pieces. You want a frosting that is as close to like industrial spackle as possible. You want your gingerbread to be like nice and dried out. This is the basics of a good gingerbread house.
Now, they are supposed to be ultimately edible, yes?
I mean, they are technically edible, but why? I mean, you're going to build this thing. Everyone's going to touch it. If you've got kids, they are licking their fingers with the frosting all the time. And then you're going to decorate this thing and it's going to sit on your table for at least several days. And then you're going to crack into it. I mean, it is technically edible. The ones that I make are edible. But why?
That was my question, was like, are they edible? And like, if so, for how long? Because usually you make a gingerbread house and then you set mm-hmm. it out so everyone can appreciate your masterwork.
Right.
And who knows what happens in the meantime?
I mean, I know that people eat them, you know, but I think there's many better treats to eat this time of year.
Yes. Yeah. I will say for the time that I was talking about that we made gingerbread houses at that party, it was as much about making the gingerbread house as it was eating the candy while you're making it and mm-hmm. having that communal experience of sitting around a table with people. It was something to do in addition to the rest of a Christmas party type atmosphere.
Right.
It seems to me like candy that would maybe not taste great, like those little, they're like these like jujubes, you know, mm-hmm. that are really pretty and colorful. Those are gross, Chris.
What? Red Hots? Those cinnamon ones?
Not Red Hots, but like jujubes, like little, they're kind of gelatinous, but hard. They seem to me like a really good thing to put on a gingerbread house, but they don't taste good. So like
a
you
gumdrop.
Can choose candy. Yeah, gumdrop. Although gumdrops aren't necessarily bad tasting, but you can choose them based on look, you know?
Right.
Yes.
And not taste. So things could taste terrible, but you can still put them in your gingerbread house because, I mean, you're probably not going to eat it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you're working with kids and you do want to eat your gingerbread house, like, I would almost suggest not going through the process of making gingerbread. Like, I've seen videos online where people use Pop-Tarts. You can use graham crackers. You know, you can use things that are pre-made and you can, like, make a quick gingerbread house. And then I feel like it's not as big of a deal if that night the kids just tear it apart, eat it. But, you know, going to the trouble of making, like, serious gingerbread pieces and all that work and then letting it sit on your table and then eating it, I mean, no, thank you.
So, I mean, you mentioned that you're making the gingerbread itself mm-hmm. purely for architectural strength.
I guess I can't say purely for architectural strength because, you know, I'm still using a gingerbread recipe, right? So I'm still putting like all the fragrant spices in it, vanilla, molasses, all that stuff. So, you know, I guess if I was doing it purely for architecture, I could leave a lot of that stuff out, but it wouldn't smell as good. And that's part of those workshops is like, it just smells like a Christmas wonderland.
Yeah. It also seems like if you were doing any of this for purely architectural, you just wouldn't do it.
So. Right. You would use, I don't know, cardboard or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is the recipe that you have, is that is it a family recipe or?
You know, it's just, it's kind of evolved over all the years that we've done these workshops, and we've kind, you know, I haven't made any changes to it for several years because we've kind of got it where we want it. But, you know, there was some trial and error because we're doing such a large volume. You also want a dough that you can work with fairly easily and roll out easily, and that doesn't shrink when you bake it. It's taken a long time to develop that just the way we want it.
Why do you think we're so obsessed with making structural things out of food? Like, where do you think that comes from?
I just saw something online. It's like the new version of gingerbread houses. It's called charcuterie chalets. And you basically make like a savory version of a gingerbread house. I don't know. There's something about Americans. We have too much food. We want to decorate with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like a commentary on American culture.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's fun, but yeah, it's, if you don't think too hard about it.
The charcuterie thing. That sounds fascinating.
I know. It sounds delicious. I'm kind of into it.
Yeah. I wouldn't let that one sit on your table for a week, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, among the candies that you're giving to folks, like, what kind of things are usually in the mix? Like,
yeah.
If you know, what are must-haves for the candy decorations?
I pretty much always get the red and green, you know, spice drops, the gum drops. The Christmas M&M blend is a good one. Always the little cinnamon round candies are popular. I like to get they make metallic, I think they're called Sixlets, the little chocolate balls that have the hard coating on the outside. And you can get those in like kind of a metallic blue. You can get gold and silver. And so those are always fun. What are the little chocolate discs with the white sprinkles? I think they're called like non-parallels.
Oh, snow caps?
Maybe snow caps, but they're more flat and round.
Yeah, I know. I know the ones you're talking about.
Yeah, those are nice. People like to put those on the roof. Mini candy canes are great.
Andy's mints.
Andy's mints are great. Shredded candied coconut is nice for like snow.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you incorporate gingerbread men into these tableaus?
We, you know, they don't have to be, they can be non-binary ginger people.
That is true. I didn't mean to be exclusionary when I
We do have assorted, you know, holiday-shaped cookies out for people. They can decorate them separately or they can add them to their house. So we usually have trees and stars and little, you know, people figures, which some people add as part of their gingerbread display and some people just eat and some people do separate decorated cookies.
Do you want to, like, carve a window in your gingerbread house or do you want to, like, put stuff around it so it looks like a window or put like blue or a color in there to make it look like a window, but not actually make a hole? Is it a bad idea to put holes in your gingerbread walls?
It's not a bad idea to do. Yeah, I wouldn't do huge holes, but if you're going to do them, I would do them before you bake your gingerbread ideally. So cut it out in the dough and bake it so that it's, you're not going to break your gingerbread trying to cut that out. And if you do that, you can, this is getting a little advanced, but you can put something like hard candies, like Jolly Ranchers in the hole. And then when you bake it, they'll melt and it'll sort of look like a stained glass window, which is fun.
I have seen that on baking shows, which I learned recently, you don't really watch.
I've never seen the Great British Bake Off. And people find that shocking.
I mean, I was a little surprised. Why don't you like baking shows? Why don't you watch baking shows, I should say?
I guess I have a front row view of it all day, every day.
It's like taking your work home with you.
I guess. Yeah, I guess I would just, you know, for me, maybe TV and shows are escapism and I don't need to watch work while I do that.
Yeah.
It's literally the opposite, I feel like. So on one hand, like, it's escapism for me because I don't bake for a living, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also fun, for example, to watch hospital shows with my mom, who's a nurse, because she'll tell you all the stuff they're doing wrong, which is fun.
Yeah.
Right? And so she'll start yelling about sterile fields, you know, when she mm-hmm. when she was watching ER or whatever, and I found that hilarious. So, you know, you could watch the Great British Baking Show and be like, oh, that's never going to work. You can't just add all that extra sugar to that frosting. It's going to make it a mess.
Yeah. I think I would just end up feeling frustrated.
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Exact Sciences. Join the Madison-based team working to lead earlier cancer detection. Visit exactsciences.com to view the company's hundreds of open jobs.
I was doing some research, obviously, about gingerbread houses before this and found some really elaborate ones with, like, there was one from the display that used to be every year at Hilldale where they used, like, shredded wheat for shingles.
Oh, yeah.
And many colored jelly beans so that the walls kind of look like rock.
Oh, that's... Yeah, which was cool. That's elaborate.
Yeah. I wonder, like, when you see a gingerbread model of the Edgewater Hotel or the Capitol Building, like, is that impressive to you?
It's impressive from, like, an artistic standpoint or from the standpoint of, like, how much time they put into it. I do find, gingerbread or food to be sort of a strange medium for people to create these pieces, but yeah. They are impressive. I read about a woman who was trying to get a job at Bouchon Bakery, and so she made a gingerbread model of Bouchon Bakery, and that was like her application to work there, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
So yes, I find it very impressive, but more from the standpoint of like, I know how much time and labor went into that.
I was wondering if a family is going into the gingerbread house process for the first time this year. You mentioned that, you know, Just Bakery is doing kits that you can order, and we're going to do it for the first time. Like, how do you prepare, and what's a good mindset to have going into it? What are some like tips and tricks that you have for folks?
Cover your table. You know, get like cut open paper, grocery bags, whatever. Cover your table because everything's going to get covered with sugar, especially if you're doing this with children, right? Just accept the fact that like a lot of frosting and sugar and fingers are going into their mouths. It's not the time to fight, you know, the sugar battle. Just accept it. And yeah, just be prepared, you know, for a lot of sugar cleanup when you're done. I think less is more with frosting when you're putting the candy on. I think one problem that happens, especially with children, is that they want to like glob on a ton of frosting and then stick the candy on it. But inevitably that's just going to like slide off the house. If you're making your own frosting, use a recipe that starts with either egg white powder or meringue powder. Wilton makes one that you can buy at most craft stores, but that's going to give you like that really thick, spackly icing that dries pretty quickly, but also will hold your stuff in place. Another trick that I would recommend is to assemble your gingerbread house and let it set before your children start trying to decorate. You know, I do them the night before and let them really harden. Royal icing will get super hard and it'll hold your house together pretty well. That's what I suggest using. But if you're trying to have your kids put the house together and then decorate it in the same time frame, your house is going to be just like falling apart, especially from the weight of a lot of candy on the roof and stuff.
First of all, what is royal icing? And is there any difference, I guess, between what you'd use to, you know, stick things together and then just use as the, you know, finishing icing?
So I use royal icing for both. And royal icing is a egg white based icing. For safety, I use, you know, a pasteurized egg white, or I use a pasteurized meringue powder, which is just the egg white powder with some sugar added to it. Royal icing dries very hard. So if you're just trying to do like a powdered sugar and water sort of icing, it's going to be really hard to get a consistency that's going to glue things together properly. You know, if you think about it, you're trying to basically glue pieces that are like standing up together, and then you're going to put weight on those seams with a roof. So you need something that's pretty stiff. You know, if you wanted to use it for decorating cookies or something like that, you could thin it out with a little bit more water. But I, for sticking candy on and for gluing the house together, I prefer to just leave it really thick.
Does it also stick and dry to your hands then too?
No, I mean, it washes off easily. It can't, I mean, it, you know, if you leave it on something, it will dry quite hard. But before it's dry, it's really easy to clean up. Also, I would suggest piping bags. You can get disposable plastic piping bags. You can make a piping bag out of parchment paper. You can even use like a Ziploc bag and cut the tip off. But you're going to have a much easier time gluing your house together and gluing candy on if you have a piping bag with just a little, you know, cut a tiny bit of the tip off first. You can always cut more off. That's my recommendation for that.
Yeah. If I want to make gingerbread for my gingerbread house, and then I also want to make gingerbread to eat, mm-hmm. are those going to be different recipes? Will one have like more flour or something?
I would say if most of the time you can use the same recipe. If you're going to use it for a house, you're probably going to roll it a little bit thinner and you're going to bake it more because you want it to be really stiff and you don't want your pieces to bend at all. And if they're not really dried out, then it can sort of start to collapse slightly. So I think if you're making gingerbread to eat, you're probably going to want more of like a tender, soft gingerbread. So a lot of the recipes will work for both, but you're going to want to cook it slower and longer for your house just to basically dry it out fully.
You're wanting the house to be almost more closer to a ginger snap than a gingerbread.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't even thought of that. That's what I actually eat usually when I'm eating ginger cookies is a ginger snap.
Okay.
I think. The idea of like gingerbread being on the bread spectrum seems strange to me. I hadn't really thought about that, but I guess is it in the category of a quick bread?
Yeah. And that would be a totally different recipe from what I'm talking about. Like I'm talking about a gingerbread that you would use to make a cookie, essentially. It's much more close to it. And then there is gingerbread in terms of like a quick bread, like a banana bread or zucchini bread or something like that. It has the same spices and it has a lot of molasses and things like that in it. It's really delicious. Nigella Lawson has a great recipe for, I think she calls it gingerbread cake, but it's baked in like a loaf pan. It's really good. But what you're going to use for a house is definitely not that dough. That will not work. You're going to want a gingerbread cookie dough base for that.
Yeah. So if you want to eat something with delicious gingerbread flavors, maybe gingerbread cake.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. Or, you know, make gingerbread cookies, but just, you know, don't bake them until they're structural.
I love that. What have you learned over the many years of doing the workshop? Like, are there things that have surprised you? Do you see like fights breaking out over like someone who wants to be super artistic and someone who's more loosey-goosey? Like,
I haven't seen fights break. I mean, luckily most people who come are very well behaved. We did have a year where I tried an experiment and it didn't work out. So normally that we get so many candies and I portion them all out. Everyone gets their like gajillion containers of little candies. And one year I was like, I'm not doing it. Most of these people are adults, they can share. And so I set up like a candy buffet. And the first couple groups that went through just cleared us out. And they took like five times more candy than you could possibly put in a house. And then I was like running around and I'm like, oh God, what do I have? And I was getting like chocolate chips and dried cranberries, just anything I had in the bakery to try to, you know, get us. And then of course it ended and I found just piles of candy that people hadn't used. So we did go back to portioning everybody's candy out. But that's the only like really negative experience we had at this. You know, I think the biggest lesson learned is just
humanity's no good.
you know, pre-assemble and let those gingerbread houses really dry out. We have people who come who've never been before, and they're always surprised that they get this fully assembled gingerbread house. And we've had people who are disappointed because they had, like, in their mind, they had plans they were going to make something other than a house. I had somebody that wanted to make a gingerbread yurt one year, which was interesting, and it was a clever idea, but, you know, I just tried to explain, like, if you were assembling and gluing, it would be really hard to decorate this structure the same day. So, you know, I think we've got it down pretty well and people have a lot of fun, but there's, you know, they're not going to be gluing their own houses together.
Yeah. Are there any plans this year to do any of these? I know you obviously can't have the workshops, but are there going to be gingerbread houses available this year at all? Or
from us? No. Okay. No, we're not doing any of that. Even though these are all very structural, it's still a pretty large structure. It's still fragile. You know, you're still talking about cookies that are glued together with frosting. And basically a kit would be a giant box. The frosting that we make needs to stay refrigerated until it's fully dried. So it just didn't seem practical for us to do this. Also, like most people, we're working with a pretty limited staff right now. So I reached out to Just Bakery to make sure that they were going to be doing something like this. And we've just been promoting this product that they're doing, which are these kits. They're also doing pre-decorated Christmas cookies, and they're doing Christmas cookie decorating kits. So we're encouraging people to reach out and order from them. They're a great organization.
Awesome.
What's the minimum amount of time between, like, assembled house needs to rest for a little while and then decorate? Is it, like, could you, like, do it in the morning and then decorate in the afternoon, or does it need to be overnight?
Yeah. No, I think you could definitely do that. I mean, you might just need to be, like, a little bit more gentle with your house, but royal icing dries pretty quickly. So if you don't do it, like, incredibly thick, you know, if you do just enough to really glue the house together, I think a couple hours would be fine.
Nice. I feel like as you're assembling your house and it smells so good and you've got all these wonderful candies and everything, and I would want to have, like, separate cookies that I could also eat while assembling my thing that I'm not going to eat. So I feel like that's a good,
that is a good thing. Yeah, definitely. We also, like, I mean, I shouldn't promote this event that we're not doing this year, but, you know, we always have like a food buffet too. So people can have snacks and they have little sliders and cookies and, you know, we have hot chocolate cider, stuff like that. So
yeah,
we're just promoting it for 2021.
Exactly.
When everything will be hopefully back to normal.
Yes.
I went to the bread baking class at Madison Sourdough on, like, March 3rd or something like that.
You're probably in, like, the very last class before lockdown. Yeah.
It was really fun. And it was just, yeah. But, like, being able to be in that room with all these people, you know, we're all in our aprons and flour all over the place. And it's just, it's the kind of thing we can't do as much during the pandemic, but I like the gingerbread house idea for, like, well, maybe we're not running to rehearsal for Nutcracker. Right. So we can have a fun, like, weekend activity for everybody to get involved with.
It's a nice thing to do in your immediate household or your pod or whatever you're doing.
Yeah. So are there favorite Christmas traditions or holiday traditions that you have that you want to, like, give a recommendation or shout out this season?
This season? No. I mean, I guess something that I tried that I really liked and then I totally failed to do this year was I made Alton Brown's aged eggnog recipe, which was super popular amongst my family. But you have to start that, like, at least 3 or 4 months in advance. So I guess that's not a great one to try for this year at this point, but maybe for next year.
That's a great one.
Yeah. It'll still serve a purpose in, you know, February and March, though.
So. Sure. Absolutely. You know, all of my family's traditions really just involve food. So it doesn't, you know, nothing's really changed particularly except, like, how many people can be involved, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, we really just get together and cook and eat. Those are pretty much our traditions.
That sounds great.
And drink, but we can still do that too.
I will say last year I made Alton Brown's unaged eggnog, just like a regular one, and it's delicious.
Okay.
It was one of three, I think, that I made homemade. And there's a White House eggnog that has brandy, rum, and bourbon in it, and that will lay you right down.
It's like the Long Island iced tea of eggnogs.
It's boozy, yeah. But it was fun to make. And I like any eggnog where I'm separating like yolks and whites and then like whipping up the whites into a big froth and then folding them back in to make it all light and make it feel like it's not as heavy as it actually kind of is. I love the trick in that. But Chris, do you have any other questions?
I think I'm good. Yeah, this has been wonderful.
Yeah, cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So do we want to figure out the design first? Like what it would...
So, like
Basil,
this,
come here, buddy.
Fish,
Basil's on cleanup duty.
I think this is probably a sign.
Yeah, okay. Probably a sign.
Okay, now can we go wash your hands because you just sneezed?
And actually, I'm going to walk in. Let's do it. Ah! Stop. Oh, it's so hard.
Basil has to be involved in everything. He wants to know what's going on for us.
But the faucet is smaller.
Need to put a little more.
Well, I'm gonna put it on the side. If we do glue there, no, because this we would need to do it here.
So why don't we have? Let's turn the tray. Let's.
Mom.
Sorry, guys.
Mom.
Whoops. All right.
Okay, let's just restart. No, that's wrong though, because.
Nope, sweetie.
No, because if we stick it to the side, then it would be uneven.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
And that was so beautifully done. Mom screwed it up. Okay.
We'll just move
the...
Yeah, exactly.
Mom shouldn't be in the...
Mom, that's not really what you were supposed
to
do.
Mom.
Well, Mom doesn't make gingerbread houses normally.
Yeah, we're going to hold it.
I want to open the decorations.
Why don't we wait on those?
Yeah.
Like disappear.
Been The Corner Table, a podcast about food and drink in Madison, Wisconsin, produced by the Capital Times. Patrick Christians composed our music, and Natalie Yar edits the show.
We are dropping episodes every other week, and they are available wherever you get your podcasts. You can, as always, find Lindsay and I individually on Twitter and together as a show on Facebook.
Go to captimes.com for more food and drink news, including a recent feature about the Deliciouser, a new spice company on the East Side. Great gift ideas there. And I did a holiday arts roundup. APT has a new one-man wonderful life that is delightful. It's running through the end of the year.
And here is my shameless plug, once again, for Just to Be Nominated, which is a podcast that I co-host for Lee Enterprises. Our most recent episode was all about holiday movies, and our next episode will be a big year-ending talk about our favorite films of 2020. So you can find that on whatever podcast player of your choice, Just to Be Nominated.
I am Lindsay Christians, CapTimes food editor.
And I am Chris Lay, and I love an edible house.
Our wish for you this week is any kind of Christmas cookie you love. Gingerbread, sugar cookies, chocolate chip, anything goes. Cheers! Cheers.
We need to have like one bonus episode that is just a like a supercut of every single time that we've said cheers. Or I
yes,
wonder if
I
there's
that.
A way to do like Carol of the Bells or something with like pitch shifting all of the cheers that we've done over the years. Like isolating cheers, 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 cheers.
It's like the Jingle Cats.
Cheers.
It's like the Jingle Cats, but weirder. Yeah, yeah.
This podcast has been brought to you by Exact Sciences Corporation, the makers of Cologuard. Once again, be sure to learn more at exactsciences.com.